Accustomed to prepare ourselves for the study of God's Word by having a few moments of silent prayer. During that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are our God and that you take care of us. But we don't want to take anything for granted because life can be taken away in a second. And we have so many things that we want to do. The main thing that we want to do is to be good and faithful servants, and that we will be able to glorify you through all the things that you give to us. So we thank you for these things and pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this morning. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I don't know what y'all been doing for the last week. I've been trying to keep warm. And I have heard a report that we're going to have another one of these, only worse. About George, when was that? A week from now? So you better enjoy this week, a little bit of warm weather, and then we'll probably have to get it again. I want to do something here that we need to look at. By the way, how many of you went to our website and were searching the gold nuggets in it during that time? Because a lot of people didn't know what to do, maybe, but I would really recommend going through this. You don't even have to get off this home page. We've got look at all these things over here. And it goes on and on. And if you go up here to the visuals, there's, I don't know how many, look at all these here. Look at that. It goes on and on. And so, and each one of these you can benefit by. So I hope that you use them. Website that way. Uh-oh, I hit a wrong thing. Let's see what I want to do. Get rid of this. I don't want that right now. Okay, now we're back where we want to be. All right, another thing that I want to talk about with regards to our website is, you see up here where it says podcast, the fourth one from the right, all you have to do is hit that, and this comes up. I know that's small font, but Pam is working on getting these bigger. She can't just make a font bigger by what she does. They have something to do it. But anyway, the first one we have here is Dr. Andy Wood's Pastor Point of View. And that is tremendous. That is a wonderful asset there. He gives these every Friday, a new one, and if you just touch that, it'll go here, and you just push then watch, and you'll be good to go for that. And this last one is, I'm kind of scared because I'm afraid I'm going to hit a wrong button again. Okay. He gets articles, fresh articles, usually that are in a week. There are so many things that are happening right now that you nearly have to get it from Andy or someone like that because all the things that needs to happen for the rapture are so close. And so anyway, I would ask you to at least try it. Go to lesson 336. Write that down. 336. That's the last one that he had. And I think if you go to that one, you're going to be hooked and you'll continue to get all this information. Very interesting. And you can get that on Rumble. If I hit that one and it goes to Rumble, there it is. You see 336 over there on the far left. And you just tap that, and it'll start. Let me get out of this. Maybe I'll just close that one. Okay, and then you have Dr. Andy Woods, 1 second after the rapture. He was at a conference and he gave this. You can click on that, and that's wonderful as well. And then we have Rick Hughes, and he does the flot mock, FLOT, front line of troops is what that refers to. And there he is, and he has all of these are his things that he's done, and their audio, and you can really benefit from that as well. So there's a lot on our website that you can use, and I hope that y'all are go through it. And we have all these right here are some of them. Well, I did this one thing. I asked Cam to change major Bible event. You see where it says Genesis? Because I was going to do the major Bible event. There it is up there. And I was going to go through the whole Bible. It took me five years to go through Genesis? And so, but I never called it Genesis. I just did major Bible event. But anyway, there is a lot there. There was a time, let's see if I still have that. You see where it says tolerating tyranny, right above where it says publication. If you go up to the second one, it says tolerating tyranny interview archive. Well, Dr. Jim Pretell, who has gone home to the Lord now, this book is about 5 or 6 years old, something like that, but he interviewed me about that book. And see all those interviews there? And that he was giving me the interview every week, and I would go through the book. So there are things like that in there that I think are really worth going to. Okay, let's get off of there. Okay. All right, that's where I want to be. I don't really think things jumping up. I just say no every time. All right. We started a while back, and I started a new series that's called Historical and Personal Crisis. And we did several lessons on that, and then we inserted something that was in that, which was called the Doctrine of Historical Trends. And that's where we are now, going down in that. And as soon as I run out of this historical trends, which won't be long, then we'll get back to the national and personal crisis. So this is lesson 11, and we're going to start off with this. Too often is the story of how the weak control the strong. That's what history is about. And when you see weak control the strong, your mind starts thinking, what? What? I thought the strong controls the weak. No, it's another way that it's done, and as we go through this, you'll see what this is talking about. The weak do not have honor or good qualities, so they abuse and take advantage of the strong who do have honor and good quality. Point number one, weak, insecure, thoughtless, arrogant people often control policy, procedures, and people in social life, culture, business, professional life, marriage, government, and churches. So the weak are everywhere, and this is explaining to you, I was given, they don't have any honor, and then we have other type of characteristics that the weak possess. Point two, through arrogance, self-centeredness, and preoccupation with self, the weak in society control and manipulate the strong. You see, if they were strong, they wouldn't have all these horrible types of characteristics. They would have good ones. But they're weak, and they're weak because they don't have the good characteristics. They have these bad ones. This could be seen this week in California, where horrible raging wildfires killed 12 people. I don't know if it's still 12. Is it more than that now, imagine? 15? Okay. So it killed a number of people there. So far, and destroyed thousands of homes along with anything that got in the fire's way. Grocery stores, schools, churches, filling stations, nursing homes, hospitals, etc. were completely destroyed. I don't think I've ever seen such horrible pictures, and as they flew over all these homes that were completely and utterly destroyed, the only thing that was standing up were where they have the fireplace and the chimney going up. And that was the only thing there. And thousands and thousands and thousands of homes and all those things happened all at one time. I guess y'all saw it. We need to pray for those people. The weak political leaders control the policies and the people for many years, emphasizing their own agenda. Now, these are the ones I'm talking about, the weak, and they are in positions of leadership. And rather than taking care of protecting the people, make sure the forests are in good shape and they have all the water they need. Instead of doing that, this is what their agenda was about. Climate change, transgenderism, equity, diversity, and inclusion. By giving precious water to keep a small fish alive rather than giving it to the people who desperately need it shows where their priorities are. And so you probably heard about that they had these so much abundant water coming down from the north from when the snow melts. And rather than letting it go down into the south, what they did was, and the EPA was behind this, they said there's this little fish and we have to give that fish the water instead of giving it to the people. And it eventually just, they let it drain right out into the Pacific Ocean. And so I think a lot of people aren't very happy about that. The people have suffered over the years because of the weak leadership. Leaders are incompetent and arrogant. We were talking about the weak. Those were some of the characteristics, is that they are arrogant and incompetent. Now there are thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who have lost everything. Calamity like this is to be expected when the weak control the strong. Americans have suffered for the last 4 years because we have been controlled and manipulated by a weak, cantankerous president. How many times have you heard people complaining that we had a weak president? Heard it all the time. And it's not only him, it's his weak administration as well. Now we are anticipating that 8 days from today, a very strong president with a very strong administration will make America great again. I don't know about you, if you are anticipating that, but I surely am. And the Lord saved us in the election to allow this to happen. Well, where we go from here, nobody knows, but at least we have the hope that things are going to get better, hopefully much better. But this, again, is an example of the weak controlling the strong. 4 years of this. Point number three. This is why a nagging wife makes a scene and dominates a thoughtful, courteous, and kind husband. Now, I'm not trying to beat up on wives. This is just an illustration because the men, the guys have their foibles as well. But the nagging wife has those characteristics that we have looked at for a weak person. And the husband would be strong because he has characteristics that will try to abate what's going on, but the nagging wife gets by with what she wants because she is weak, and she is the one, the husband loves his wife and she's courteous and kind and all that, and so he's, the nagging wife is controlling her husband. I don't know how many husbands are out there that will, they have this idea in their mind. They think, okay, well, my wife, if she doesn't get what she wants, she kind of throws a fit. And what I'm going to do is give her what she wants, and then she's going to love me all the more. That is a cross. Because the woman is going to, she's manipulating her husband. She's the weak one with regards to characteristics, but she's very strong in manipulating the husband. And so, here's another illustration. This is why peons and scum are possessive and often control nice people. Now, what this is talking about, again, these are weak people. They're thinking only of themselves. They're self-centered. And they will find a kind person, and they want to possess everything that they can, and so they control a nice person. And the reason they're able to do that is because kind people are wanting to help these people. They can put on an act like they could win one of those awards. What is the one they have? The Oscar, yeah. They are peons, and they just make people feel like, oh, they need some help and all this. So this is why irrational, self-righteous crusaders often dominate in politics and government administration. This is how a power-mad and irresponsible press, which we have, and I'd like to throw a lot more adjectives in there, but I'm a pastor and I'm not supposed to do that. But I loathe our media. They are, anyway. So this is how a power-mad and irresponsible press can dominate and destroy great leaders. This is how a junta, I've given the, if you don't know what that is, a definition, it's a military or political group that rules a country after taking power by force. So this is how a junta can make a bad decision and start lawlessness internationally. And that has been going on for the last 4 years as well. Psalm 82, verse 4 says, "Rescue the weak and needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked." And the wicked are those who are weak that are preying on the weak and needy. They're not praying for them. They're praying to deliver them. They're wicked people, and they don't have anything of character. This is what the strong should do to save truly weak and needy from the hand of the wicked. Rescue the weak and from the hand of the wicked. And there we have the weak leader. You kind of have to get your mind set on the weak are strong because they are they see people as dupes, and they try to get what they want from them in a way that is distinct. Man's strength lies in the use of his volition, not in his human ability. We'll expand on this right now, but just think about that. Man's strength lies in the use of his volition. God gave every one of us volition, the opportunity to choose. He started with Adam. He gave him a negative. He said, "Do not, not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Well, Adam had volition. He said, "Well, I'm going to do it anyway," and you see what happened from that. So. Volition is very, very important. Excuse me. With his volition, the believer can make right decisions relating to God's power and Bible doctrine. You can use your volition to do that, and I recommend it highly. But he can also make wrong decisions based on subjectivity and arrogance, and thereby succumb to satanic propaganda of the cosmic system. Now, we've gone through the cosmic system, and if you haven't, that was a few weeks ago, and if you haven't seen it, just go on our website and go down to the one that, well, you'll see it. It's all about the cosmic system. And so that's what your volition do. Every day, you make decisions. How many decisions did you make before you got to church? Well, I know you ladies were making decisions. Should I use this dress, or does it look better with this over here, and all that? You're making those decisions. Guys just go up there and grab something off the rack there and throw it on. But and we are glad that the ladies do that. I mean, y'all are just astonished. You made a good decision, let me put it that way. And so we all make decisions, and when you're out you're coming to a church, and you wonder, should I take the shortcut this time, or you're constantly making decisions. So, choosing to believe Satan's propaganda, whether in religion, philosophy, psychology, sociology, political science, or any other academic subject related to human viewpoint, results in choosing the thinking and environment of the cosmic system. Now, nobody has to put a gun on you and say, "Okay, it's time for you to start getting believing the propaganda from Satan and choosing the cosmic system." You do that on your own, and there's only two ways that you're going to go. There's the divine dynasphere, which is the sphere of power from God, and the sphere of the cosmic system, which is, of course, satanic. This doesn't imply that these academic subjects are all satanic viewpoints, but most contain a great deal of human viewpoint. Now, what is human viewpoint? Well, your human viewpoint is what you think about things. And there's nothing, I guess, wrong about it. But when you're thinking human viewpoint, what are you not thinking? Anybody want to say? Yeah, divine viewpoint. And that's where we want to live and make decisions, in the divine viewpoint. Because that is takes us places where we want to go. But this other one is a train wreck if you want to have enough human viewpoint. I can just see someone going to, let's say, a sociologist, and they have a problem in the family. It could be about to have a divorce or something. And you're talking to that person, and they will wax eloquent. And they have a great vocabulary, and they seem to be so smart. But most of the time, it's all human viewpoint. God is never mentioned. Spiritual things aren't even mentioned. So that's something that you can see there. Point four. Such a choice thereafter, that is after you've decided you want to engage in the cosmic system, such a choice thereafter limits the use of one's free will to making only bad decisions until one runs out of bad decisions, closing the door to all options in life and terminating life under the sin unto death. That's where you're headed as people that are in the cosmic system. That's what's going to happen to them, is they're going to wind up dying the sin unto death. Now, the sin unto death, is that just for unbelievers? No, it's for believers. God will do everything He can to get your attention because He doesn't want you to die the sin unto death. And the sin unto death isn't just one horrible thing that you've done and He's going to take you out. It's a series of things. The whole tenor of your life is in the essentially the cosmic system. You don't pay attention to God. And so eventually He will take you out. And that would be shorter than it would be than if you were in the divine dynasty. By choosing divine truth in three categories, there's three categories of divine truth here. The first one is the laws of divine establishment. I think most of you know what those laws are. It starts with freedom. And of course that includes volition, but it starts out God gives us freedom, and then He gives us marriage, and then He gives us family, and then He gives us the nationalism. In other words, that is a part of the laws of divine establishment. Nationalism, not internationalism. Those are opposite. And the internationalism is where you have people who want to have global everything. And that's satanic. And so, anyway, that's the laws of this divine establishment. And then you have the gospel. Of course, the gospel has to be in there. And Bible doctrine. Those are the laws of divine establishment, the gospel, and Bible doctrine. So decisions result in both residence and function in the divine dynasphere. That's God's sphere of power, where the filling of the Holy of the Spirit produces the power, and where enforced and genuine humility produces teachability. So all this is saying is that if you want to make the right decisions and have tremendous blessings from God, then you are going to be in the divine dynasphere, and of course where we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. Y'all all know what that is, right? The circles. Y'all remember the circles? What comes in your head when I say, "What about the circles?" I know in my head it just pops up because we have a PowerPoint on that, and I can see everything there. And what it means is that the top circle has everything to do with being born again, to be saved. And God does all that work, everything for us. And then you go into the bottom circle, and there is when you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, when you believe the gospel instantly, then you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But there's going to be a time, and usually it's a short time, before you sin again. And when you sin at that point, then you are no longer right with God, and you are gone into carnality, is what they call it, carnality. And you are estranged from God. You still are His child. But it's like if you have a good friend, and your friend said something or did something, and it was something you just couldn't handle, then you would be estranged. And then He gives us the way to get back in God's good graces, of course, is when we acknowledge our sins to God in 1 John 1:9. And when you acknowledge your sins to God, He instantly forgives that sin and cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and then you're right back with Him, and there's no grudges held or anything. So that's how you get to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know about you, but you want to keep your mind focused on staying in the filling of the Holy Spirit. Because when you get into carnality, you can be a thinker. And it's all you have. Some people say, yeah, but why can God forgive your sin just because you acknowledge it? Well, the point is that when you sin, then you are estranged from God. And a lot of people think, well, you have to do penance, or you have to do this, or you have to do that. No, the only thing that God wants you to do is humble yourself and acknowledge that you sinned against Him. And that's all it is about. And then you are, He forgives your sins, and you're right back on track again. So that's a little bit on the power of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we have, and we're enforced. Let me just start over because I've got a lot in here and I want to be smooth. By choosing divine truth, that's the first thing, is you want to be in the divine dynasphere and be living in truth. And then we gave the three categories. The decisions result in both residence and function in the divine dynasphere. So the way that you get in the divine dynasphere is to start by choosing divine truth. And then you have the filling of the Holy Spirit there. And then enforced and genuine humility produces teachability. How far are you going to get in God's plan if you're not teachable? How far are you going to get? You're wasting your time. And a lot of people, they never spiritually grow because they're always questioning something. And even they'll read something right out of the Bible. Well, that's not what I think. Well, who gives a hoot what you think? God surely doesn't. And yet, that's the arrogance just exuding out of the pores. Well, this is what I think. Anyhow. And so, genuine humility means that someone has enforced that genuine humility. I'm looking up here. Enforced humility. Does everybody understand what that means? Were you ever a child? Yes. Did you ever get a spanking? Somebody says that. I can say yes. That is enforcing humility. Now, you don't want to have to spank. That's the last resort. But sometimes the little darling needs a good red behind. Anyhow, that's when it's enforced. But it doesn't matter whether it's enforced or whether it's genuine humility. Some people can see things and they have a humility. They don't have to. Some people have different things that they have problem with. So, but this is genuine humility. So, and we're enforced, and genuine humility produced teachability. So you have to be humble to grow in grace and knowledge, and to make your spiritual life blossom, you have to be humble. And where enforced and genuine humility produce teachability for greater options in life. Would you like to have greater options in life? And which coming from God? Who would say, oh no, I don't think so. I'm just doing it. I don't need more options. Well, there are people like that. You wouldn't want to be around them, but they are there. So when you are teachable and you start learning Bible doctrine, then there are greater options in life. Plus personal blessings and glorification of Christ. Now, there was a lot in there, but I'm not going to rush through this. God, I'm not going to even get close to being finished in this today. But I want you to get the whole gist of it. Point number 6. Man must inevitably choose something greater than himself by which to live. He must choose greater wisdom, power, and ability. That's what people want. They want wisdom and power and ability. They are only two systems available which to choose. So you want to be able to live and have something greater than yourself that is showing you the way, that's going to lead you. And those two power systems, of course, are the divine dynasphere, God's sphere of power, and the cosmic system. That's the only two choices. And somebody will say, "Yeah, well, I don't believe that. I believe that I can have power myself. I can choose." Well, all he's saying is that he's advertising that he's in the cosmic system. It's not us. You're going right now. You are in one or the other. You can't be a little in one and a little in the other. You are either in the divine dynasphere, and you're growing, and you're whenever you sin, you acknowledge it, you get right back in fellowship with God. The other one is the cosmic system. Anytime you choose to live by the cosmic system, you become a loser in life. Ever seen this? Number 7, if man must live by his wits, he must live by his volition. Volition is huge. There would be no sense to God creating the earth and having all these people if they didn't have volition. And some people think that man doesn't have volition. Everything that you do, you don't have a choice. God has already pre-planned it. But how could God be glorified by having robots that were made to do what they're supposed to do? You understand what I'm saying? If we don't have free will, then we're like robots going around. Can a robot glorify God? No. Number 8, the use of volition linking up with grace and the plan of God results in historical blessings by association for all. You probably, a lot of you maybe were with me up until I said results in historical blessing by association for all. What that means is when you use your volition, you're making good decisions that through grace and the plan of God. If you're doing all that, then you, little old you and little old me, can have historical blessings by association for all. What it means is God is going to bless you so much that your cup, your cup runneth over. You have so many blessings that they just overrun, and it could be your family that are being blessed. Not because of what they do, but because they are in association with you. It could go to maybe your neighborhood, maybe your city, maybe the state, maybe the whole nation. That's what that's talking about. Would you like to have those kind of blessings? They're available. Too often history is the narrative of man's weakness and not his strength. That's kind of where we started. Number 1, inside the divine dynasphere, the battle is the Lord's and you will win. Inside the cosmic system, the battle is yours and you lose. And I'm going to add something to this, and there it is. Now you know I don't give many stars. Y'all know that, don't you? When I saw this, I said, bam, I've got to have a star for that one. It's real simple. Sometimes the simple things are the most important. So again, let's look at it. Inside, when you're inside the divine dynasphere, in the sphere of God's power, then the battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. The battle is the Lord. Tell everybody, the battle is the Lord. Not you. You're not in battle. You're trusting Him to do your battle and take care of all that himself. But inside the cosmic system, the battle is yours and you lose. The battle is yours. Do you want to fight all your battles, or would you rather God take them over for you? Number 2, There are no winners in the cosmic system, just different categories of losers. You want to join that club? Now, I'm giving you this information, and hopefully you're learning some things that you didn't know before, and now you're really going to be held accountable, because you're going to make the choice to go into the cosmic system, and that's the worst choice you could make. There are no losers in the divine dynasphere, just different categories of winners. Do you see the contrast? Now, let me ask you this. Are there losers in the divine dynasphere? Ah, that's a tricky question, isn't it? Well, there are people in the divine dynasphere that sin, because we all sin. But if they have been trained properly and they know about the circles, they know that all I have to do is acknowledge that sin and boom, I'm right back in there. And as long as you stay in the divine dynasphere, you're not a loser. But someone that has been in the divine dynasphere can become a loser because he has decided, using his volition, to get sloppy and try out the Satan system. And when they do that, then they are a loser, and they're a loser until they wake up and get back into the divine dynasty. So there are no losers in the divine dynasty, just different categories of winners. You want to join that club? Number four, there would be no human history without man's wrong decisions, and wrong decisions are made every day in the cosmic system. That's all you do. You just generate wrong decisions. Have you ever known someone that just about everything they've done, they made bad decisions and they are not in a good place? This is a part of the great conflict between arrogance of the cosmic system, that's what one of the main things is, and the enforced and genuine humility inside the divine dynasphere. Those who are in the divine dynasphere are humble. Weakness becomes strength by choosing for God's plan rather than your own plan, while strength becomes weakness by choosing the cosmic system. So there's a lot of people that are so proud of their plan. They got a plan in life and they got it all sorted out and everything, and God isn't in it. They're in the cosmic system. Once Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, history became a matter of self-determination. Do y'all understand that? It was huge when God gave both Adam and Eve the right to have a decision, that they can make their own decisions. And that was so big. And so when they fell, when they ate of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then it just became a matter of self-determination. From that point on, they would be making decisions, and some good, some bad, and now the human race is plagued with wrong decisions. The use of human volition is now the issue in human life. That's how important it is. And people can say, well, I didn't know that was wrong. Did you choose to do it? Yes. Well, then you have to, if you're an unbeliever or if you are a person that does not want to acknowledge their sins, then that's a very bad choice. By making good decisions, you open options for greater decisions and blessings. Whenever you, and see, this is one reason for the husband, that God made him the head of the house, is because they're wired to make, sometimes the decisions are very difficult to maneuver But in the family, God has designed the husband to make the decisions. I'm talking, you know, the wife can decide on a lot of things as well, but when it comes to big decisions, of course, it's the man. So by making the decision, you open options for greater decisions and blessings. So that's what you want to do. You want more options, and the only options you get in the cosmic system is which way would you like to suffer today? Number 10, making bad decisions, you destroy these options. So you don't have those options either. The historical trends of the church age are related to the believer's choice of options. The historical trends of the church age today are related to the believer's choice of options. Believers choosing for the divine dynasphere and producing a large pivot or remnant. Do y'all know what that is? I know we've gone over that. A pivot or a remnant is a group of people who are in the divine dynasphere. They are the ones that are pushing towards spiritual maturity, and some are in spiritual maturity. The believers choosing for the divine dynasphere, and it's a choice, this is where you want to go, and producing a large pivot of our remnant of believers, of mature believers, means blessing. But believers choosing for the cosmic system means great disaster. Note, California. 12. While man is free, he is also weak. Therefore, he must use his volition to identify with a power system greater than he is, which can turn weakness into strength. That's what we've been talking about. And that's the circles there. And it lives in the divine dynasphere. The cosmic system turns strength into weakness. Did I double get that? I did that once and it really messed things up. I don't think I did. Okay. Inside the divine dynasphere, men's lives are changed by doctrine. I would think about maybe putting a star on that one too. But I'm chintzy with my star. Inside the divine dynasphere, men's lives are changed for the good by doctrine. It's alive and powerful, and it can change you from being a monster to nearly having a halo over your head. Inside the cosmic system, men's lives are changed by arrogance and by evil. 14. Under the principle of liberty, man must be free to succeed or fail. See, if you're going to have freedom, then you have to, it's not just for the good, and it's not just for the bad, it's for both. So under the principle of liberty, man must be free to succeed or fail. Therefore, true freedom is the source of both failure and success. You have the freedom to be successful, and you have the freedom to fail. And I'm glad it's that way. And, you know, a lot of times people don't go into business because they said, well, I might fail. Well, so what? I mean, when you fail, it means hopefully you've learned something. I won't do it this way again. And then you start another business. And maybe it lasts longer, but it goes down. Oh, now I know more. And you just keep it going. And that's why this is a good deal, even though a lot of people might say, I don't like this. I don't like the failure part, but that's part of freedom. Believers should recognize their weakness before God. Some believers haven't learned that we are utterly helpless apart from the grace of God. Do you understand that? All of us are. It is God that sustains us. So the believers should recognize their weakness before God. Some believers haven't learned that that we are utterly helpless and apart from God, the grace of God. But when He commands us to do something, we cannot obey it without the power of the Holy Spirit, which we receive through grace. So even when God commands us to do something, we can't do it. What did we say? We are utterly helpless. But He has arranged for the Holy Spirit to give us the power inside the divine dynasphere in order for us to obey what He gives. And that's just an example of how much we, how weak we really are. This leads us to another way that the Bible uses the word weak. Oh, this did not come at a good time. I think I'll just show it to you. But I can't go over it. Everything that I've been saying and showing you here is trying to see that there are people who are weak, they have no character, that are in places of positions of high in the government and that type of thing. And they abuse, and the stronger people who do have character. And that's what this whole thing was, and we need to understand that. But this leads to another way that the Bible uses the word weak. And after, if I push this, what you're going to see is a couple of scriptures that fill up the whole thing. And from reading those scriptures, then you can understand, oh, now I understand there's also another way that the Bible uses the word weak. I'm already past time. And so all I'm going to do is give you a peek, okay? There it was. You see that? You have to come next time. Okay, well... This is a portion of our service where we want to reach out to those who are afraid of death. They don't know what's going to happen after they die. And we want to give them the good news. The good news is that you think you are going to go to hell for your sins, maybe, or you didn't do enough good works. That's a malarkey. The fact is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and He went to the cross, and He paid for your sins. He took on your punishment and my punishment. In fact, He did it for the whole world. And He said, before He died, He said, "Tetelestai." That means it is finished. That's why He came to earth, is to be a mediator between God and man. He had to become a man for that. And He finished His mission, and He was successful. There's nothing you can take away from it or add to it. And so the only thing that is going to save you is believe that Jesus Christ did what He said He did, and He is who He says He is. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And so that's all you do, is you see the what I've just said and heard it. And so now it's an issue. You can say, okay, I really believe that. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for me, for my punishment, and I'm not going to be punished. In fact, the moment that you believe in Him is when you become a child of God. And you become, your ticket to heaven, of course, is guaranteed. So many things happen at that point. Before, you didn't have a human spirit. Now you do have a human spirit, so you can you're going to be living in the spiritual realm. You're physical, but in your mind, you're learning what the Bible says, and you know what the world, what life is all about. And so you are so blessed, and of course, you always will receive the grace of God. So I hope that you don't delay in doing that. Again, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are in awe when we see what you have done in eternity past. All these things were settled and done before the world was even created. And we thank you for revealing these things to us, and that we will live in the real world and not think that we have to sort it all out ourselves. All we have to do is go into your word, and you've already given us all these things that we need to know. And we do want to be good and faithful servants, and we are anxiously awaiting the return of our Lord. And with so many things are going on, we pray that you will help us to stay in the divine dynasphere and explain to others how they need to be saved. The only way to be saved is by believing in Jesus Christ. And we pray that you will give us the boldness to engage with people and tell them about our God and how to be saved. And that the Holy Spirit will, of course, enlighten them, but they have volition and they can choose to reject Jesus Christ, and they will wind up in the lake of fire. So help us to live in the spiritual realm and keep on taking in your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name.